Hey, everyone. We know you guys love the dating and relationship themed episodes. So today we are talking to Sai Neary, who is a dating and love coach. She is going to share her expertise in this area. We're going to hear about dating energetics, what is the difference between masculine energy versus feminine energy, and how that may be impacting your dating and relationships. We talk about why it is that you may be attracting the wrong kind of men, how to even spot the wrong types or the emotionally unavailable types. We talk about why it is that people become attached so quickly, how you can avoid that, red flags, green flags, and so much more. I hope you guys enjoy. I feel like we have gone back and forth for so many months now to schedule this, so I'm happy we finally got to do this. So first of all, tell us about yourself. You know, what do you do and how did you get started with being a dating and love coach? What's your story?
I am so happy to be here. So a little bit about me. I am a self-worth and dating coach, but I always wasn't one. I started my coaching practice as a divorce coach, helping my clients decide if they should stay or if they should go. And while I was continuing to coach them, I helped them through their journey. I started coaching them on love and relationships. And love and relationships is something that I've always been very interested in, very passionate about. I got my certification in the Gottman method, and it's all about building thriving relationships. And I was like, you know what? Like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to help women to find love, women that are strong and independent and, you know, are having bad luck, because that was my story. Mm-hmm. For many, many years after my divorce, like, I struggled with dating. I didn't really date in the, you know, the South Asian culture. Like, you don't date, you just like date for marriage. It's a whole different experience.
Right.
And after my divorce, I started dating and I failed miserably. And then through that process, I finally figured my shit out and I was like, this is what I'm meant to do. And then I also had my human design read, my blueprint, and through that entire self-discovery process, I'm like, I am here to help women feel worthy in who they are. I'm here to help women that want love, that want to find their soulmate, that want to find their person and don't know how to do this, to do this, because I have been able to do this for myself. I am now remarried to the person I was supposed to be with. I help my clients find their people, and through that journey, they find their soulmate, they make more money, they're like loving their life, and I'm like, this is the jam.
Yeah.
So I'm a love coach, but really, I'm a life coach.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, I think it's also cool that you started off doing divorce coaching and then pivoted, and I think that's just always to remember that it's okay to like pivot along the way. Okay, so you go through this divorce, and we know divorce, particularly in South Asian communities, definitely has its own set of challenges beyond the fact that divorce is already such a traumatic life event. And so that whole experience is what led you down this path of helping other women in their love lives. So what would you say is the typical profile of someone that comes and works with you? Like, what are the common themes across these types of women?
They are so committed to their self-growth. They are committed to having a life where they have it all. Mm-hmm. So they're independent. They are very successful at work. They've got that career thing on lockdown. Like, they know what they want. They're like managers, directors, VPs. They run their businesses. They're super successful. They are loving. They take care of themselves. They work out. They travel with their girlfriends. They have a solid friend circle. Some of them own their own homes. Some of them live with their parents. Some of them have never been married, and some of them have been married. And now the one thing that's in common with all of them is that they're successful, but there's something that they can't quite figure out that is getting in the way of them finding a really good guy. Mm-hmm. They typically attract unavailable men, and they're like, what is wrong with me? And so the work there is to shift that narrative, and I help them find their person. That's all they want. They want their person that they can come home to, Netflix and chill, because they want a Netflix and chill, like make dinner with, like have a family, grow a family. Like, that's what's in common with all of them. They desire companionship. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So these are women who have it, you know, they have it all together. They're successful, goal-oriented women. And there's a certain ambitious energy that they all have. So let's talk about dating energetics, because I know I've heard you talk about this concept often of like masculine energy versus feminine energy and how that plays a role in dating.
I think that plays a role in life and just relationships, period. So we all have energy. We all have feminine energy and masculine energy. And neither of them are wrong. We possess both. And the way attraction works between a masculine man and a feminine woman is that you have to have polarity in a relationship, okay? So think of a battery. You have the positive side, the positive charge, and then the negative charge, right? And you kind of need both in order to like charge and like power the remote control, for instance. Like you need to have both. But if you have both sides, like both positive sides, and you need to flip the other, it's not going to work.
Mm-hmm.
And so what ends up happening with strong, independent women is at work, we are operating in alpha energy, masculine energy. And that's amazing because as a society, we are trained and conditioned to operate this way because this is how we are rewarded, compensated, we make money. So the masculine energy is all about doing, leading, shaping, just being in charge, right?
Mm-hmm.
Feminine energy is the softer side. It's the heart of the relationship. I think a really important point I want to make is that you can be a feminist, girl power, but still be very feminine. And so it's leaning back, it's being vulnerable, it's the softer side of the equation.
Okay.
And oftentimes when we are in our alpha energy at work, women, career-driven women, goal-oriented women don't always know how to turn that off in their romantic relationships. So they want to help, they want to do all of these helping things, but that's very masculine. And so what ends up happening is women often end up controlling the relationship, which they don't mean to. They try helping their partner, which really the male partner conceives that to be controlling and annoying.
Mm-hmm.
And so then that's where that power dynamic is off and there is no polarity. So in order to have a successful relationship, there's going to be ebbs and flows of, you know, one partner being a bit more masculine than the other. But in the courtship period, it is really important to make sure that the dating energetics, the polarity is really there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so what you're saying is that like a lot of the traits of strong, successful women that may help them in their careers or other endeavors may not necessarily be helping them in their dating life.
No, it's totally cock blocking them from love, like 1000%. And this happened to me in my first marriage. So like, I know for a fact, like this shit doesn't work. And that resulted in a divorce. And I started doing a little bit of this in my second marriage. And I was like, wait, something isn't right. And this is where I learned about like the energetics of a relationship. And I completely like did a 180. Mm-hmm. And it changed the entire game of my second marriage. Mm-hmm. Without a doubt.
But so just to clarify though, like, that's not to say that women, this is not about women having to like downplay ourselves, right? Like all of those strong attributes are going to still be attractive to a successful man, but it's rather this idea of like leaning into that feminine energy. But I guess like, can you kind of help us understand how women can lean more into their feminine energy? Like
yes.
Give us some examples. Like what exactly does that mean and what does that look like?
Yeah, I think that's such a great question. So a couple of things. A strong, independent, masculine man wants a strong, independent woman, right? Like that is a given. He wants someone that can take care of herself, is driven, and can do all of the things. But he also needs a woman that can speak to his heart. The way to a man's heart is through a woman being vulnerable. So when I talk about being feminine, it means feeling and expressing your emotions, okay? It means that when you are drinking a cup of coffee or tea or chai or whatever, like you're really experiencing all of your senses. When you are out and about, you are enjoying your life. When you're with your friends, you're present with your friends. Being feminine doesn't mean just wearing floral dresses and getting your nails done and getting a massage. Like if that's you, cool, boo, like keep doing that. But it's also like there is a level of self-care, but it's also having boundaries. So being feminine also means speaking your truth, not downplaying your voice. Like if you don't want to do something, then say, I don't feel like doing this. And this is why.
Mm-hmm.
I think feminine energy gets a bad rap because it's like it sounds like you don't speak your mind. It sounds like you have to be soft and just like a wallflower. And that's not what that is. You can be a strong, independent woman in her full feminine energy and be like this goddess and just like owning your sexual energy, owning your emotional energy and saying, this is what I'm available for and this is what I'm not available for. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. I think those examples you gave really help. Like, I mean, I think before I was thinking that leaning into my feminine energy meant, you know, buying fresh flowers. And for me, like, there's something about that that lets me stay grounded and just feel more joyful.
And you could do that. Like, that's also feminine, right? Like, if flowers make you feel soft and sensual, like, get like the whole freaking florist, right? Like, get all the flowers.
Yeah. So besides not being aware of the dating energetics, what would you say are some of the other common struggles you see with the clients, the female clients that you serve? You know, like I know you mentioned being attracted to emotionally available, unavailable men or doing things that self-sabotage. Like what else are you seeing?
I'm going to say this about self-sabotage. I actually don't believe in self-sabotage. And I think it's like really important to have that conversation. Mm-hmm. Because there's this whole, like, especially on the internet and on social media, it's like stop self-sabotaging yourself. I think it's more about self-preservation and understanding that we all take actions from the best of intentions. And so if you can, like, just wrap your mind around, if I am doing something that is not in alignment with the kind of life or relationship I want, it's really important to understand, well, wait, why am I doing that? Because if you say I'm self-sabotaging, oh, I picked the wrong kind of men, I don't have good taste in men, I don't know how to date men, I don't know what I'm doing, there's this level of shame, mm-hmm. right? And when we get shamey with ourselves, we hide and we don't put ourselves out there, we don't date, we don't attract healthy relationships. So like, I think it's important to just say, like, listen, I don't self-sabotage. I'm trying to figure it out. I'm taking actions from a place of self-preservation. And if you can like wrap your mind around that and dissect, okay, well, why am I doing this? Why did I think in this moment in time this was a good idea? You can then shift through that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. And in terms like of just answering your question around what are some things that women do, like my clients, like what are things that they're doing that are not helping them attract relationships or the kind of men that they want, they don't have like strong standards. They'll accept any relationship. They'll jump from relationship to relationship. They don't really have strong boundaries. Like yes means no, no means yes, right? Like they don't own who they are and really stand in their power. And I find that a lot of these women are hoping that a man will complete them. Mm-hmm. But that's never the case, right? Like the man is just like a cherry on top of your sundae and your sundae is your life.
Yes.
Right? So I think that's really important.
Yeah, exactly. Like when people say, oh, I found my other half, and that always bothers me because you are a whole person yourself, right? Like when you meet that partner, he or she is going to be an addition to a life that is already fulfilling on its own.
Yeah, you came into this world as a whole person and anyone and everyone else is just adding to your life. You don't need anyone, but it's nice to have someone and it's important to note that. Mm-hmm.
What would you say, what are good ways for women to know if men are serious? So if we're talking about, you know, the F-boys or men who are emotionally unavailable, like what kind of advice do you have for women to not attract those people or not be attracted to those people?
Yeah. So I think the one important thing to understand is that if you keep attracting unavailable men, there is a part of you that's unavailable. Mm-hmm. And when I tell this, when I say this to my clients or other people, they get very defensive. They're like, no, I'm not. I'm very available. I'm putting myself out there. I'm doing all these things. I'm like, listen, woman, if you were truly available, whether that's mentally available, emotionally available is a really important one, you would have your person. So one, it's important to understand how are you not available for a relationship? And it might be work is really busy and energetically you're not available. You literally don't have time to date. Maybe it's that you're from a health perspective, you're super stressed out, like you're going through things. Energetically, you're not going to be available. Maybe it's financially, like your finances are a muck, like you're trying to figure things out, you're making ends meet. So energetically, you're not going to be available. So you're going to attract men that are not available. That's one piece. The second piece is you are forgetting how worthy you are. And this is like a big chunk of work that I do with my clients. That, and the thing is, like, you attract what you think you deserve. Mm. So there's a level of unavailability that you have and a level of what you think you deserve. So if you keep attracting men that treat you like shit, it's because you believe that's all you deserve at an energetic level. Intellectually, no one's going to say I deserve shit. Mm-hmm. Like, no one says they deserve an asshole. No, like, you deserve a great guy. But there is an unhealed part of you that believes that this is the best that you can do. So this is where you elevate your standards and establish strong boundaries, which would be the third piece, is fuckboys don't respect boundaries. And if you have strong boundaries, they're just going to give up. You're too much work for them.
Yeah.
So I would say, like, those are like three important things.
Yeah. I think that's so good to hear. Like, I know I'm part of different Facebook groups, and now that that feature exists to post anonymously, there's a lot more people that are forthcoming about their dating issues or specific dating struggles. And, you know, a common thing that I often see, and I know I've been in these shoes myself as well, is women are saying, like, they're dating so-and-so or they're dating somebody new. And, you know, there's all these different red flags and, you know, they're just not really feeling that fulfilled. But there's something in them that just makes them continue wanting to try. They're continuing to either, like, rationalize poor behaviors, or they're just trying to force it to work, even though, like, it's so obvious to everyone else that, like, oh, this is a huge disaster waiting to happen. Like, we're still trying to rationalize it, you know?
Yeah, and it's especially hard if you're a people pleaser, right? Like, that's one thing. And then as alpha women, right? We're like here for the challenge. Right. We're like, no, I'm going to make this work. I'm going to get this guy to change his mind. I'm going to get this guy to commit to me. Even though he told me he's not ready for a relationship, I'm going to be the special person that's going to change his mind. No, bitch. Like, you run. Like, this is not an invitation to, like, wait and try to change him. And I think so many women, especially in our South Asian culture, watching all these Bollywood movies and Hollywood movies, and it's like, you kind of, like, you know, you're like, you're attracted to the bad boy and bad boy's not available. And then it's like very, like, romanticized. Yeah. Like, oh no, he's, you know, you're the one. Mm-hmm. Girlfriend, there's, like, spend your energy on other more important things and focus on men that want you, not men that don't want you.
Right. So on that same topic, so I wanted to talk through a few of the questions that we got from Instagram when I had posted that I was recording the session with you. So let's talk about red and green flags. So I feel like we're always talking about red flags. So let's start with the positives. Like, what would you say are the top 2 to 3 green flags that you should take note of when you're starting to date somebody?
I think one of my favorite green flags, and I think so many women, like, downplay this, is that a guy's actions match his words, right? So, like, there's follow through on, he's doing the thing that he said that he's going to do, and he's not doing the thing that he said that he isn't going to do, right? And so when you have a man following through on actions and he's consistently showing up, that is incredibly important because that's indicative of his, like, intentions towards you.
Yeah.
Versus if you've got a guy saying, oh, I'm going to hit you up, we're going to plan a date, and he never shows up. Well, A, that shows that he doesn't know how to manage his time. B, he doesn't respect you. And C, he's not emotionally available. Mm-hmm. So bye, boy, like, not available for that, right? So that would be a green flag, making sure that the guy that you're talking to, he says what he says he's going to do, right? His actions match his words. The second one I would say is he's prioritizing you in his life, right? We all have busy lives, busy careers, friends, families, dogs, different obligations. But when you're really into someone, you are going to make time.
Yes.
Like, you will make time. Like, if I want to, like, binge watch, like, a Netflix series and I never have time to watch TV, I am watching that entire series in 2 days, right? Same thing for a dude. Like, if a guy is really into you, he will figure it out, and he will be in your schedule. you will figure it out too. Because when a woman is really into a man, work doesn't matter. Like the hair appointment doesn't matter. The girlfriends don't matter. You make time because you want to see him. And he will do the same for you.
Yep.
And then the third one is, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, I love that because I think when people say, oh, I'm busy, that's such a cop out. Like nobody has time for everything. They make time for what is important to them. So
yeah, 1000%. And then my last one, because you said 2 to 3, I'm going to take you on that third one, is that he respects your boundaries, right? So if you say like, hey, I'm not ready to be intimate, he might like try a little bit because that's what men do, but he like will respect you and say, you know what? Yeah, like I'm ready when you're ready. Or if you say no, like I don't feel like doing whatever the thing is, he's like, okay, yeah, like I got you, no worry. Like he's respectful of you and your boundaries. Mm-hmm. That would be really important.
Yeah. What would you say are the top 2 or 3 red flags to be aware of?
Okay, definitely one of them being like if the person is just emotionally unavailable, right? Like they, and what I mean by emotionally unavailable is that they dismiss your feelings, like they don't want to talk about feelings. Maybe they gaslight you. They're like, oh, you're too sensitive. Mm-hmm. You're too, insert, right, the word. I think that is like a huge problem because they're just not available. That would be one. And in addition to that, I would say if they're already in a relationship, they're not available. So like, don't try to steal like someone else's man. Just like there's plenty of fish in the sea.
Right.
I mean, it's like I'm laughing about it, but it's true. And I would also say if they're not taking initiative, mm-hmm. if they're not reaching out, if they're not planning dates, if they're not actively pursuing you, if you feel like you're expending more energy in moving the relationship forward versus them, that just means he's really not that into you. So girlfriend, like cut your losses.
Yeah, totally. So one person wrote, how long should you talk for before going on a date? I guess let's take it from both angles. Let's say like you match with someone on a dating app who lives a few states away, that scenario versus maybe matching with someone on a dating app being in the same city. Like how long should you talk for before going on a physical date with someone in both of those scenarios?
Okay. I'm going to say the location doesn't matter.
Okay.
It doesn't matter, right? So like think about the intention. The intention is to figure out if there's a connection with this person, short-term versus long-term connection. And I would imagine that your person on Instagram or wherever you polled was like asking from the perspective of like, hey, how long should I talk to someone before I go on a date with them because they want longer-term companionship.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest problem that I see with so many women is when they are on these dating apps, they move to the text. They may get to the phone, like conversation, and they get stuck there. They become pen pals, and you end up forming a relationship, a texting relationship, before you even meet this person.
Yeah.
And so what ends up happening is you create attachment. Like you have this not necessarily accurate like representation of the person because you've never met them. You don't know what their energy is like in person. You don't know if they have bad breath. Like you don't know if there's chemistry. Like you just don't know like a lot of different things. But in your mind, because you've already been texting back and forth and talking frequently,
yeah,
you have a relationship with them.
Like a buildup in your mind.
A problem. You like fantasize and romanticize the whole thing, and it's the hype. You hype yourself up. You get yourself in a relationship before you meet the person, and then it's a letdown.
Right.
I recommend trying to meet the like have a couple of conversations on it, like on the phone. Like the goal is to get from online to offline ASAP.
Totally.
The distance piece, right? The distance piece is only important because you have to figure out logistics. So you're probably going to speak a lot more on the phone or FaceTime before you meet in person. That's the only difference.
Yeah.
But also like don't talk to person just one time and go fly to like Washington State, right? Like you don't want them to be like a murderer or like catfish your ass. So like, yeah, take a little bit of time to figure that out.
Yeah, totally. I think you're going to be so much better off meeting sooner than later because just because you have chemistry online or through the phone or FaceTime, that doesn't always translate to in-person chemistry. So the quicker you can find out whether you vibe or not in person, the less time you waste. So yeah, I don't see any point in prolonging meeting in person.
any more than you really need to.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so next person writes, how to avoid getting attached too quickly. What are some pieces of advice you have around that, not getting attached too quickly?
So I will say this. I have been very guilty of this. It's something that I definitely struggled with when I was dating between husbands. We'll just call it that. And I did used to get attached very quickly. And I learned since then about attachment styles. I don't know if you're familiar with that or not, but it's essentially how you form relationships. And that's been imprinted upon you at like a really young age. So like you pick that stuff up from your parents. I find for my clients and for myself, for the ones that get attached very quickly, typically they have an anxious attachment style. And the anxious attachment style is all about like getting security from the other person. And if you don't have that, you like get very anxious. So for those of us that have this anxious attachment style, we get attached very quickly because we catch feelings. Mm-hmm. And we catch feelings because we don't have a healthy boundary between like within ourselves, right? So we give fully, we love fully, we're like all in because we want the high of the attachment. We want that connection. So it's important to understand your attachment style. I will also say how can you avoid getting attached too quickly? It's like keep living your life. Mm. Like your life didn't start with this person. Your life is not going to stop with this person. So if you have a workout routine, stick to your workout routine. If you have like, you know, you meet up with your girlfriends like every other week, like continue meeting up with them. Like don't completely change your life just because there's this other person in it. Remember, the man is a cherry on top of your sundae. Mm-hmm. Don't forget that the sundae was there before. So continue doing that. I would also say like have strong boundaries with the guy that you're dating. If you find yourself getting attached quickly and he wants to see you all the time, like someone with an anxious attachment style is going to love that. But also like you need to have your own life and say like, hey, I'm not available on this and this day or time. I'll see you next weekend or later in the week or something like that, so that you can maintain a healthy sense of self. And that's what it boils down to. You get attached too quickly because you lose yourself in the relationship. So what I just laid out is a really great way to maintain like who you are as a person so you don't get lost in the relationship.
Yeah. What are the common backgrounds of people who tend to have anxious attachment styles?
Typically, what I can say from what I have seen personally is that there is trauma experienced with either their fathers or their mothers. And therapy is really important. So like definitely if you feel like you're struggling with your attachments and relationships, see a therapist, work with a coach. That'll be incredibly helpful for you. But it's typically like this sense of like having a troubled relationship. So for me, I'll speak for myself. Like I had a very troubled relationship with my father. The dynamics there were not positive. Like I always sought his love and attention. Mm-hmm. But I never got in and I never really felt secure. So that's where my anxiety is produced in the male relationship. So like I do still struggle with my anxious attachment style and I'm okay with that. And I have a partner. I've been married for 5 years. We've been together for 8. And I'll ask him like, hey, are you going to leave me one day? And I'm joking, but I'm not joking.
Yeah.
This is like, because this is a shit that I grew up with, right? I never really felt safe to be myself. And so it's important for you to understand your attachment style when you are in a healthy relationship, for your partner to understand your attachment style, for you to understand theirs so you can support each other. Mm. So in these instances where I feel insecure, even though we've been together for so long, Brian will hold me and hug me and he'll tell me you're not getting rid of me.
Right.
And that's all I need to hear in that moment. And I just like, all right, cool. Love you, babe. Like, and I move on.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And that's important because this is the shit that's imprinted upon us as children. And no one tells us how important relationships are when you're 4.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I know I've definitely found myself in the past just getting attached so quickly. And I think one thing that I that would often come up for me was that there was like an attraction piece that would then eventually just fall flat. So like that was something I had to really teach myself, was remembering that there's a difference between attraction versus real compatibility and connection. So for example, there was a lot of attraction, like physical attraction, and that made it feel more exciting. But then when I got to know them more, like the compatibility factor totally fell flat, and that made me crash. And I like realize now that you know, initial attraction or how good that person looked either in person or on paper or whatever created way more excitement than was actually warranted.
Yeah. And so if you think about what's actually happening, like from your brain, right? Like from a brain perspective, you're releasing all this dopamine and oxytocin, which are like the happy chemicals, the love chemicals, the lust chemicals. And your brain's like, yes, 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 give me party time. And then like eventually that subsides and it wants like another high. But like then the reality of the person kicks in. You're like, yeah, no, this is not the thing, right? And so I think what you mentioned is like a really important point.
Yeah. What is the best piece of advice that you would have for someone who is single and, you know, just feeling hopeless about finding a romantic partner?
I would say two things. I would say, first of all, keep going. Like, don't give up. Like, there's this really famous quote that I love by Winston Churchill. And he says, if you think you're going through hell, like, keep going. Mm-hmm. Right? Because, like, it's not the final destination, right? It truly is the journey, and you're going to get to where you need to be. I will also say that when you keep going and you don't give up, you are guaranteeing your future. You are guaranteeing that eventually you will find someone. Eventually you will meet somebody. But if you stop halfway to the exit ramp that you need to get off of to meet your person, you're never going to fucking meet your person.
Yeah.
So keep going, right? Just keep going. No matter how hard it feels, no matter how many bad dates you go on, no matter how many guys ghost you, what are you looking for? You're looking for that one person, right? That one human being, that one soul that you were meant to be with. And he's out there. Don't give up.
Yeah.
Because one of the most important skills that you can have is perseverance. Mm. Dating, love, a relationship is all about perseverance. Like, I feel like so many people lose sight of like, hey, I'm trying to find my person. I'm trying to get married. I'm trying to do the thing. But that is just the beginning. It's like having a baby, right? It's like, okay, I'm trying to get pregnant. It's a journey. It's a process. The 9 months. Okay, amazing. The baby's here. And then it's like, shit, now the hard work starts.
Right.
So being in a relationship is just the beginning. There's going to be so much shit that you're going to go through in like the course of a relationship. There's going to be obstacles, health issues, careers, babies, like a lot of that stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And how are you going to get through it? You're going to get through it because you're going to persevere. Mm-hmm. So you need to really hone in on this skill of being a type of person that perseveres through shit, that can figure things out. And in order to do that, you got to just keep going. You got this. It's going to happen. And if you want to guarantee that, you got to keep going.
Mm-hmm. I love that. So the last thing I wanted to ask you about was the human design reading. So I never actually heard about the human design reading until I heard you talk about it. I think it's pretty interesting. So tell us what it is and how this type of reading can be beneficial to understanding yourself more when it comes to dating and relationships.
I love human design. I know a lot of my clients, and I'm sure you're familiar with this too, they're really into like personality tools, whether it's Myers-Briggs, StrengthsFinders, like Clifton, whatever, Enneagram, right? Like all of these are great tools to understand who you are. And I think in the workplace, this is like very common. However, because of how you answer these questions, they're questions, right? Like pick A, B, C or whatever the prompts are, you can actually manipulate the result. So, depending on your mood and how you're feeling about yourself or like what's going on in your life, like you may answer the same question in a different way depending on when you take it. Mm-hmm. So it could be manipulated. Human design is a system of knowledge that is comprised from I Ching, Kabbalah, astrology, and like the chakra system. And it's based on a person's date, time, and place of birth. So unless like I lie about my date and time and place of birth, like it's going to be what it's going to be.
Okay.
And what Human Design Blueprint tells you is how you were designed, how you were created to operate in this lifetime. So when I look at someone's Human Design Blueprint, I won't even talk about someone else. I'll talk about myself. When I got my Human Design reading done, it blew my mind. For the longest time, I was told that I'm very emotional. I'm very sensitive. I change my mind a lot. Mm-hmm. I, you know, have like all this shit, right? These things that were determined that were like negative. And when I got my Human Design reading, I was like, wait, I have so essentially you have different energy types and energy centers based on the chakras. You have gates and channels, and we could do a whole episode on this. Net, I learned many things about myself. I learned that I am an emotional person, and I'm supposed to be an emotional person, and I'm supposed to make decisions from my emotions and how I'm feeling versus being told I need to make logical decisions. Mm. And as you can understand, from a societal perspective, we're told to make decisions from the mind. I am not designed to make decisions from the mind. I'm designed to make decisions from my gut, right? I've learned that I have a really big heart, and I need to feel emotions deeply. Mm-hmm. So when I'm happy, I am really happy. And when I'm sad, I am like, it's intense, right? Psi was designed to feel the highs of high, like of life, and the lows of life, because that's a gift. Like, how amazing is it as human beings, we experience emotions. Not all animals experience emotions. We do. And I, as a human being, get to experience the full breadth and range of emotions. And so to bottom line it for you, your Human Design Blueprint gives you insight into who you are meant to be, how you are designed to feel emotion, make decisions, to communicate what your fears are, your intuition, all of those things, okay, versus how you have been conditioned from your parents, from your friends, from like institutions, from society. So it's almost like it's like here is like your permission slip, mm-hmm, to be who you are versus who you were told you should be. So that was helpful for me. So then I was like, okay, this is amazing. I went and got certified in Human Design. And then I started pulling charts for like my family, because I was like, okay, like I need to understand my family. And the moment that I pulled the charts for my son and for my husband, mm-hmm, it completely shifted my relationships with them.
Oh, wow.
With my son, yeah, with my son, I used to think he's really lazy. I'm like, what the hell is wrong with this kid? Of course he's a boy. Yes, he's slightly lazy. But based on his energy type, he's a projector. He actually doesn't create a lot of his own energy. Like, he needs naps. He needs to take a break. He needs to actually sit back and be away from everyone and decompress because he's absorbing everyone's energy. My husband, Brian, one of the things that used to drive me crazy is that he used to take forever to make decisions because he had to like research everything and then research the shit that he researched. And I'm like, like I don't know what to do. Like, why is this so hard? For me, I'll make a decision like this.
Yeah.
And it's because of his profile in his Human Design, where the one in the profile is that investigator. He needs to investigate everything. He doesn't take anything at face value. And so instead of fighting about it with him, because I used to fight about this shit with him, I'm like, why is it so hard for you to pick a restaurant? Like, here's three, just pick one. Mm-hmm. And he would go through the menus and read all the ratings, and I would just want to pull my hair. Once I read his chart, I'm like, oh, he actually cannot help himself. He can't help himself. So now I just allow for like another hour of him to go look at the menus, and I'll like take a nap. And I'm like, all right, so where are we going?
Yeah.
And that's a small example, and it's really stupid, but it's really not stupid because it's completely changed my relationship with him, and I have a greater understanding of who he is, and I have allowed to like give him space to be himself and then myself the permission to be me. Mm-hmm. So why is this important when it comes to love and dating? Is because if you know who you are and how you're designed to be versus what you've been conditioned to be, you're going to enter a relationship thinking – lots of different things, thinking that your emotions are yours versus maybe you're an empath. Mm-hmm. If you have an undefined solar plexus in your human design chart, you're an empath. So a lot of the emotions that you're feeling are going to be coming from the men that you're dating. If you feel overwhelmed on the dating apps, it's probably because you have an undefined root or an undefined ajna. So there, it's information overload. So I help my clients understand, okay, energetically, right? Because we're all energy. We absorb energy. Energetically, how should I be dating? Where should I be meeting men? Mm-hmm. When I am feeling some sort of way, are these my emotions or is this the other person's emotions? Where should I meet men? Should I meet them online? Should I meet them through friends, neighbors, colleagues? Because I can tell based on your personality profile, your all of these different things, your centers that are defined and undefined, where and how is the best way, the easiest way for you to meet men, the easiest way for you to create a thriving relationship. And I could do that from this reading.
Oh, wow.
That's pretty wild.
So, okay. So just to clarify, there's no assessment that you take, right? It's purely a reading based the way that you were born.
Yeah, it's based on your date, time, and place of birth. And based on like the systems of knowledge, like there's different parts. There's 5 energy types, 9 different energy centers, different shapes, different gates and channels. And I could read that in your chart. And I know like in different cultures, like, you know, with astrology, you'll have your sun sign and the moon and like where and whose house, what's happening. Mm-hmm. That's just a small portion of human design. It's so much more in depth.
Well, I mean, it sounds like really great information to have that you can then apply to your day-to-day life.
1,000%.
Well, thank you so much, Sai, for joining us. This was a really interesting topic. Tell us, you know, where people can find you if they want to work with you. I know you've got a lot of new stuff coming up, new programs. So tell us about that. And tell us also about the podcast that you have, what it's called, and where people can stream it.
Yeah, absolutely. First of all, thanks for having me on this. This was super fun. For my single ladies that are like, you know what, I'm ready for love. Like maybe, you know, Sai, like what she was saying, she was speaking some truth, something resonated with you. I would love to invite you into my world. My world is filled with love and real talk, no bullshit. And I'll give it to you raw, exactly how you need to hear it. So follow me on Instagram at Sai, S-Y, the love coach. I'm over there. I'm also on TikToks, but not really that active, but find me anyway. Let's be friends. I do have a podcast. I am in the middle of rebranding it. Right now it's called Dating Confidently and Finding Love, soon to be called Love Hard. You can find it on Spotify, iTunes, or over on Instagram and just link from my Linktree profile. And then if you want to actually find love and you're like, yes, all of this advice is great. I really want to put pen to paper. I really want to get out there and find my person. I would love to invite you to my dating membership program. It's called Attraction Alchemy. In this program, you get access to the course itself. It's called Attraction Alchemy. You get over 30 videos, all of like the downloadable PDF worksheets to really guide you through this process. You get access to me on a daily basis inside of a private Facebook community with other women that are going through exactly what you're going through, right? Trying to find love in this 21st century of absolute madness. And you also get access to weekly live group coaching calls with me. This, honestly, like Julie, like this program is amazing. These women in this program are incredible. They're dating high quality men. They're getting promotions, they're negotiating salaries, they're getting into the best shape of their lives. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I'm a love coach, but really at the end of the day, I'm a life coach. And if you want to create a life where you have it all, this is a membership to be in.
That's so awesome. We will go ahead and make sure that we link all of that in the show notes. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed today's episode, please take a moment to subscribe, rate, and review. You can also connect with us on Instagram at @thebrowngirl_podcast and all other social media platforms listed in the show notes. Thank you again. I appreciate you being here.